Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We are live across the United States and Canada on Sirius XM and all kinds of FM and AM stations right now, taking your calls, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines, room for you to jump in right now. And if you're live streaming with us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or our mobile app or website, of course, you're welcome to call in and be a part of tonight's conversation as well. Two open lines for you right now. We do have room. Maybe it's a personal problem going on in your life right now, or perhaps it's a scripture passage that you're not sure about, or maybe you heard something in church. It's not sitting right with you. You want to talk it over. Let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. Remember, if you're a first-time caller tonight, we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. And if you're a veteran caller, call us again tonight. Be a part of it. We'd love to hear your heart. If you've got something new on your mind tonight, go for it. I'll give you that number one more time. Two open lines at this very moment. We got 30 minutes on the clock, so lots of time to talk. 877-655-6755. Well, just a reminder, if you're supporting The Grace Message this month, we've got a very special resource that we'll be sending to each and every donor. It's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies That Christians Have Been Told. And boy, have we been fed some lies in church, haven't we? In religious circles around the world, we will get a flavor of the gospel, a brand of Christianity that is do more and be more and try harder, and God is in love with a future version of you that is loving more and doing more and trying harder. And if we hear this enough, folks, it is rejection. That's exactly what it is. It's rejection in the moment of who you are, and maybe we don't even realize it. Well-intended people in church around the world, sometimes we've got the best of intentions, and yet we're just missing the mark when it comes to the love and grace and kindness and forgiveness of God. So, with this resource, Twisted Scripture, we want to put this in your hands as our thanks for your gift this month. If you plan on supporting The Grace Message, well, right now there's no better time than today, because we're going to send this to you, and it's going to be a big encouragement. If you don't have a copy yet, join us. Go to our website, find out how you can give your gift, and make sure to request your copy, because we will send you a copy with our thanks, and we are grateful for your support. If you've already got a copy of the book, this is a great gift for someone, you know? I mean, here comes Easter, and there's lots of occasions when you can engage in gift giving. So what better gift than to gift them with a solid scriptural understanding of their identity in Christ and the love and grace of God? Go to andrewfarley.org to give your gift, to find out more about how you can request your copy. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. All right, well, we're going to start out tonight in Pittsburgh, and we will talk with Brian. Hey, Brian, what do you got for us?
Hi, Andrew. I'd love to hear your take on King David and him seeing the character of God in the law, seeing his holiness, but also David obviously understood the mercy of God. We oftentimes, I think, in the church, we kind of don't really speak to how how sinful David could be, even though he was a man after God's own heart. With Bathsheba, I mean, he basically violated her. He had basically committed murder with Uriah, her husband. And we sort of minimize that, I think, not recognizing just how much David knew the grace of God, even though he was such a violator of the law of God. So, I mean, what do you think about David and how he knew the mercies of God, even though he was under the law of God?
Well, great question. I love that you brought this to us tonight. A man after God's own heart. There's lots of wonderful things you could say about David, except that really we got to remember Jesus, and he's telling us that, you know, anybody that's born of a woman, John the Baptist is the greatest among anybody born of a woman. And yet he says the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So what did Jesus mean by that? Well, you could go back through the Old Testament. You could pick your favorite people out. You could choose Moses. You could choose Esther or Samson. You could pick David or Daniel. And you could find some character traits that are admirable. Maybe we could do a little seminar or lecture on each person. You could do a sermon series on their character, their personality, their attributes. You could talk about their strengths and their weaknesses. But at the end of the day, I think you've highlighted something really important. That Old Testament relationship, I mean, even David was saying, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, and please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So he was very aware that the relationship with God's Spirit was fleeting. It was coming and going. He was very aware that he had a heart problem. He was very aware that he had a spiritual problem. Renew a right spirit within me, he begs God. So David's relationship with the law is an interesting topic, I think. It's one that's fun to explore because, you know, his righteousness obviously did not come by law. It came by faith. Just as anybody who's ever been made right with God, they were made right by faith, not by law. They're made right by believing and trusting in the Lord, not by their performance. That's why, I mean, Galatians 3 says nobody can be justified by the law. So you're right. I mean, David, among many, David was really humbled. He encountered a lot of difficulty and failure. I think he recognized his need for God's mercy and forgiveness. You look at Psalm 51, he's acknowledging his sinfulness and he's asking God for cleansing. You know, you look at Psalm 19, he's expressing his love for the law and the wisdom and guidance that it brings. But it doesn't mean that he saw the law as the way to get saved or the way to be right or anything like that. So, you know, the bottom line is what I'm trying to say is we can admire David. We can also look to his understanding of God's mercy and love and say, wow, isn't that amazing that a man with such leadership skills and yet such colossal failures could be used by God? You're right. I mean, he was a murderer. If you don't know the story, folks, David put a guy on the front lines of his army so that that guy would die. David wanted him to die so that he could then steal that guy's wife. Now, folks, that is not nice. And David wrote the Psalms. Now, Moses killed an Egyptian in rage, and he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And then Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, he murdered Christians, and he wrote more New Testament letters than anybody else. So, speaking of colossal failures, apparently God is in the business of using murderers. And what is he trying to tell us? Are you obsessed with your sins? Are you convinced that you're all washed up, that you've gone too far, that you're a big fat failure, and that therefore God can't use you? Well, the Bible was written by failures. The Bible was written by murderers. Moses, David, Paul, these are all people who ended the lives of others for their own personal gain. And so you look at that and you just say, wow, who have I killed lately? Here I am thinking my sins are too big for God. My sins are such a big obstacle for Him. Well, your sins are small and your God is big. And He has qualified you so we can stop being obsessed with the size of our sins and start being obsessed with the size of our Savior. And I think that's the big takeaway, really recognizing that we cannot out-sin the love and grace and mercy of God. David is an example. Moses is an example. Paul is an example. In fact, really, so many, I mean, dozens of people in the Scriptures are examples of this love and forgiveness and grace of God. So the law is only going to point out David's sinfulness even further, and it's going to drive him to his need for faith. And he knew that. I mean, even in his writings, he is talking about faith in the Lord. And, you know, you see this theme of justified by faith. It's all over the New Testament, of course. But the difference is now we have a new covenant. And because we have a new covenant, we have something better than David had. And that's why you're never going to see Paul, Peter, James, John. You're not going to see them saying, please don't take your spirit from me. You're not going to see them saying, would you create a clean heart in me? Would you renew a right spirit in me? You're not going to see that because of the finished work of Christ. And that's why Jesus can say, look at all these Old Testament people. And now we have something better. Greater is anybody who's in this kingdom, this new kingdom of God's grace. Greater is anybody than John the Baptist. So he's talking about the identity we have. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people of God's possession. We've had a heart surgery. We've had a DNA swap at the core of our being. We're partakers of the divine nature. And as part of that, we die to the law so that we can live to God. That's Romans 7. We were made to die to the law so that we might bear fruit for God. So there's a lot more we could say there, but yes, we learn a great lesson about God's mercy and God's grace and God's goodness through the life of David. And I appreciate you highlighting that for us there, Brian. Great to hear from you in Pittsburgh, and reach out anytime. All right, well, let's go to California now, and we'll talk with Mike. Hey, Mike, what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, hi, Pastor.
Hey.
Yeah, calling you from Bible study, and we just got through Corinthians 13.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking at all the definitions of love, and it just seems like an impossible standard, almost like the Old Testament law. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're on to something. It's an impossible standard. What does it say? Well, it says love is patient and love is kind and love doesn't boast. And it goes on to say love bears all things and believes all things. And boy, if you're going to get out your type A personality, folks, and if you're going to get out your clipboard and try at the local wedding that you just attended to write down everything the pastor said as he quoted from 1 Corinthians 13, and then head home and just do it. Take care of business. Look at you exuding that perfect 1 Corinthians 13 love. Is it happening? Is it going to happen? No way. And here's why. because this is not about a type A personality. It's not about human effort. It's not about a clipboard or a scorecard. It's not about a laundry list, and it's not about expectations that you got to live up to. You'll notice this is actually just a description of godly love, meaning love from God. So this is agape love, and it only comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We're not the source of anything. God is the source of this agape love. So we get out our laundry list saying, oh my goodness, Lord, I better get busy. And he says, no, sir, that's my resume that you're reading. That's my resume, not your laundry list. Now, let me read it again. But this time, since God is love, I'm going to put God in there. God is patient. God is kind. God is not jealous. God doesn't brag. God's not arrogant. God never acts disgracefully. God doesn't seek his own. He's not provoked. He doesn't keep an account of any wrongs that you've done against him. God doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. God rejoices with the truth. God has every confidence. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God never fails. Oh my goodness, what a revelation. I was getting out my type A personality. I had my pen and paper ready. I've even got a clipboard here. I was going to crank out some love and check off these boxes, and I was going to live out 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah, right. Live 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 years on this planet, and you will find out very easily you're never gonna arrive. And that's the whole point. This is not your to-do list. This is Jesus's resume. What we're seeing here is a description of his character and his qualities. And now, guess what? He lives in you. Now, don't forget where this appears. This is all about spiritual gifts, right? Well, are you running around trying really hard to have the gift of helps? Are you running around trying really hard to have the gift of administration? Look, you've either got it or you don't. Well, the point of this passage is that there's a greater way than seeking all those spiritual gifts. The greatest gift of all is the gift of love. And that love is found in a person. And that person is a gift to you and me. So what we're seeing here is not a laundry list or a checklist for you to get busy. What we're seeing is the very heart of God, the very nature of Jesus, and his presence inside of us is a gift. So instead of trying really hard, how about we just trust? It's not about trying. It's about trusting. What if I wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord Jesus Christ, you're my life and you're my love, and you keep no record of wrongs, so I'm trusting you today. I'm trusting you to forgive others through me, to release them from anything they owe me, to cancel their debt and inspire me to do the same. So it's a trust in the character of Christ. We're not trying. We're trusting who he is. This is not a checklist for us. This is Jesus's resume. So, Mike, I'll put you back on and see. Does that give you some perspective?
Oh, yeah. It's like you always say, it's not about me.
Yes, exactly. It's not about me. So thousands and millions of people are going to read this passage. And you know what? You can approach Scripture two ways. You can say, God, watch my smoke. I'm going to get busy for you, Lord. Watch me excel. And then he sits back, arms folded, and says, all right, let's see what you got. But the difference is he's already witnessed people just like us for thousands of years trying to crank out godliness through human effort. And when we're done, and when we've crashed and burned and we're looking for real answers, then we realize we can only be receivers, not achievers, but receivers, because it's not about trying. It's about trusting the indwelling love and life of Jesus Christ. And that's what this gift of love is really all about. It's about Him. So thanks again for your question, Mike. Great question. Call us back anytime. Well, you're listening to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. If you like what you're hearing tonight, maybe you're beginning to discern the difference. If that's the case, go to our website and probe a little deeper. We've got all kinds of free resources at andrewfarley.org. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. You can find a short video encouraging you in your new identity in Christ. Curious about your forgiveness, or how about that salvation of yours? Can you lose it or not? Well, we answer all of these questions and more right there at our website at andrewfarley.org. All right, well, let's go now to Georgia, and we got a couple of minutes with Brian. Hey, Brian, what do you got for us?
How are you doing this evening?
Hey.
I always take my walk, and I catch you, and something came up. I am a good Catholic boy, and I went astray and came back to an astray, and I became a Knights of Columbus, the leader of it, and we did a food drive. So I joined the Knights of Columbus down here when I moved down from Silver Spring, Maryland, down here.
Uh-huh.
So I found a nice church, and there was an incident where the priest would bless us, sit us down, and ask for what we did, goods and bad. Well, I was going to explain, since I moved down here, it was my 911. I've been there 9 months, 11 days, and I had a new family. The priest just walked by me, went up the aisle, came back down. I go, Pastor Kevin, and he walked away. And I was like, I was devastated.
Hmm.
So a buddy of mine works, and he told me about Cross Point. And he said, come see James Griffin. So I went over to see James Griffin. I joined the men's group. I joined the parking lot committee. It's non-denominational. And in the men's group, there was like 525 people there yesterday. Men. All men. And one of the things we were talking about was church. He said, church is the man needs to drive or needs to be the one to get your family to church. And in the, when you come to the church, you are the family. You're joining the family. And you don't want to leave the family. So my question is, how do I make that separation now? Because I don't feel bad, but I don't want to not say goodbye, and nobody's reached out from me from the other church.
Yeah, okay. All right, Brian. Well, we're running out of time, so I just want to jump in and do a good job with your concern. I mean, first of all, the Knights of Columbus, you talk about a Catholic organization there. The Catholic Church, in my view, has some issues. And so I'm glad that you're seeking better teaching, better content. I mean, in Catholicism, they are teaching a partial forgiveness that is basically day by day, week by week, mass by mass, confession by confession, little by little, including a deathbed confession that is practically required. Or you can sit in purgatory and try to get cleansed later. But that is not scriptural. And quite candidly, it is insulting to the finished work of Christ. Here we are at Easter. We should be honoring the finished work of Christ, not denigrating it. Therefore, I'm encouraged that you're going to be seeking better teaching, better content than what you found in your previous congregation. Furthermore, you talk about the Catholic beliefs. I mean, one of my issues with them is that they're basically saying you can earn grace through works. And the more you work, the more grace you have. You know, you look at their veneration of Mary, which is disproportionate compared to Scripture. You look at the praying to saints, which is not biblical either. I'm glad you're moving on. You don't have to have a formal goodbye. You don't belong to any building or any organization. You belong to Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you're seeking truth. I would say be careful in the new place, wherever you end up. Examine and compare with Scripture.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.